All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll just remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald, he's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee. Stan McDonald is a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. And yes, indeed, Stan McDonald is also your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan in just a minute. All right, if you're watching the news, then you recognize that we've had some major news in the last couple of days. Epic, really. I mean, truthfully, the kind of news that creates a landmark in time. It's the kind of news that has the ability to turn the course of world events in a different direction. In sports terms, what might be seen this past weekend could be called a blowout victory. In Wall Street terms, everything would be up. In politics, it would have been like a decisive win without a runoff. But in the slang of soldiers on the battlefield, oh yeah, the U.S. just brought the scunion. I love that word. I don't know why, I just do. Scunion. It just sort of encapsulates the sense that something came down hard and strong and decisive. Rumor has it, by the way, the word scunion came into the military lexicon back in Vietnam. It means that you were laying down the heat on the enemy. No letting up till the decisive win was in the bag. Scunion. Yeah, the Ayatollah just felt the scunion. I once sat on my fob in central Baghdad back during the first Shia uprising in 2004, and I watched a Spectre gunship raining down fire and brimstone on the north side of an area called Sadr City. It was nighttime. We could hear Spectre overhead, but we could only see him with night vision. We literally got out lawn chairs and night vision goggles, and we watched as the heat rained down in the form of 25mm Gatling guns, 40mm Bofors cannons, and 105mm howitzers, just bringing overwhelming precision fire from way up in the nosebleed section. I don't know what they were targeting, but whatever it was didn't stand a chance. It was apparent that Spectre was bringing the scunion, and that's exactly what it was. It was strong, decisive, and it was final and without equivocation. Look, what we saw this past weekend, it was scunion in spades, as the U.S. launched what has been named Operation Midnight Hammer. Even the name says scunion. 7 B-2 stealth bombers flew over 37 hours straight, refueling in flight 3 times. Over 125 U.S. aircraft participated in the operation, everything from refueling tankers, fighter escorts, drones, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition aircraft. U.S. naval assets in the Gulf launched 24 Tomahawk cruise missiles. The missiles were timed to coincide with the arrival of the B-2s, each of which carried a pair of 15-ton GBU-57 Massive Ordnance Penetrators, a.k.a. Bunker Busters. The Iranian nuclear sites at Fordo, Natanz, and Isfahan have been devastated, and we're waiting to see the final bomb damage assessment, but thus far, what we believe is they have indeed been debilitated to the point of inoperability. They didn't even, by the way, the Iranians didn't even receive warning of any kind of effort on our part. It was a complete in and out without any radar detection. Our assets flew in with impunity to Iranian airspace, dropped their payloads, and then returned to base. That, my friends, is scunion of the highest order. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth said no other country on planet Earth could have pulled off this operation. And he's right. The technology, the skill, the assets, the warriors, nobody has what we have, and I do not take that for granted. But there are those who disagree with this effort. There are those who are of the belief that a nuclear-capable Iran posed no real security threat to the U.S. I mean, it couldn't be in our national interest because we weren't officially at war with Iran, they say. Trump needs congressional approval for something like this, they say. Iran was just being Iran, they say. We don't ever really need to fire a shot first, they say. All fighting is bad, some say. We're just tired of the shooting, they say. I get it. I get all of that. I also get that sometimes the decisions have to be made. So let's break some of that down. I mean, first of all, every president is authorized under Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution to defend the U.S. and U.S. persons against actual or anticipated attacks. It does not require a full-scale declaration of war to be able to mobilize assets of the U.S. military as the commander-in-chief in order to strike at an enemy of the state. It doesn't. Reagan did not obtain congressional approval to invade Grenada to rescue Americans. Bush did not obtain congressional approval to invade Panama and take out Noriega. Obama did not obtain congressional approval for the raid to take out bin Laden in the friendly nation of Pakistan. Each one of those was a limited scope action requiring presidential authority for the use of military force, and that's it. Now, George W. Bush, he did seek and obtain approval from Congress before he invaded both Afghanistan and Iraq separately. Different circumstances, large-scale mobilizations, boots on the ground. But then let's look again at history. Let's think about this. Let's take a look at not just the legalities. Let's consider who Iran is. Let's consider what Iran has done. First of all, a nuclear Iran is a destabilizer on the world stage. It's a danger to the U.S. and our allies. Make no mistake, Iran has been killing U.S. troops and personnel, fomenting discord, and supplying terrorists for decades. The Ayatollahs have made very clear that one of their chief aims is to damage or destroy the U.S. and to wipe out Israel. In a few minutes, I'll show you an article. In 2023, the Ayatollah Khomeini announced that death to America was not just a slogan, it was the policy of the government of Iran. You hear that? Not just a slogan, not just a chant in the streets, the actual policy of the government of Iran. When your enemies tell you what they want to do to you, there is no wisdom in ignoring it. Iran's been killing U.S. troops and fomenting discord, like I said, for decades. In 1979, 52 Americans were taken hostage within months of the Ayatollah seizing power. 4 years later, in 1983, 241 Marines were killed in the Beirut barracks bombing. Just prior to 9/11, 17 U.S. sailors were killed in the USS Cole and over 40 more wounded. Over 600 troops were killed by Iranian influence in Iraq. Some estimates go as high as 2,000. Every single one of those was Iranian influence or Iranian actors or just Iran itself. If, in fact, Iran achieved its dream of becoming a nuclear power, what would they do with it? I mean, would they just sit back and smile and feel good about themselves? Would they use it for world peace? Would they just be satisfied with just having a nuke? Now we're in the nuke club. The answer to all that is absolutely no. A nuclear Iran would be an immediate threat to regional stability. Saudi Arabia, who by the way hates Iran, has already said they would not sit idly by. Their crown prince Abdullah said just 2 years ago that they would put all of their endless, boundless resources into developing or acquiring nuclear weapons themselves. It would have been an arms race in the Middle East. Bad actors on the world stage, they'd be negotiating with the Ayatollahs trying to buy nukes on the black market. Ayatollahs who have sold, by the way, every missile, gun, and drone that the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas ever fired in anger would only be too glad to be courted as the chief supplier of nuclear arms and nuclear influence to the evils who hate America. But let's also consider this. It's not just the history of what Iran has done. It's not just the history of what Iran has actually said. Let's also consider their motivations, because their motivations are different than the average. This is not about detente. This is not about mutually assured destruction where two semi-rational nations on the world stage look at each other and they stare each other down. This is not that. You see, the things that implicate and create the decisions that Iranian leadership would make are different. The Shia extremists who run Iran come from a radical position that involves a belief in what they tend to call the 12th Imam. The 12th Imam, the return of the Mahdi, they say, will restore peace to the world. Sounds nice when you hear it that way, until you realize that the radicals of Iran's Shia leadership believe that they can usher in the return of the 12th Imam by creating massive destruction of the world order. In essence, they believe that if they can create chaos, destruction, warfare, and bloodshed by actual man-made catalysts, then they can cause their lost savior to suddenly reappear and reward them for their efforts. Basically, they believe that they can drive God into a position that they want him in. And the only way to do it is to create chaos and destruction. It's more than just the idea of Iran wishing to have influence in its region of the world at large. The radical Twelvers, they call them, of the Iranian ruling theocracy, they want to cause destruction in a spiritual sense too. And they are driven by that, which is different than any other nation on earth striving to have nukes. It's an overarching, deep-rooted hatred of peace in order to obtain peace. These are not rational people. They are sick at heart and they wanted a nuke. And that's a bad, bad combination. Look, everything I just said is true. You can go check it out yourself. The history, the spiritual radicalism, nobody can deny that. Iran has been an evil empire now for four decades. They have acted on their evil intent. Naysayers and isolationists, they know the things that I've just described are actually true. So in order to get around it, they have to either disregard it or pretend that it's false. But they can't. They can't deny it at all because it's all true. So I'll close this by saying this. I don't fault anybody for being concerned. It's possible to vote for Trump and not agree with everything he says or does. I get that. I agree. But I have to ask, what was the benefit of doing nothing? You see, that's the difference between Trump and every other president, especially Obama and Biden. Many of the previous occupants of the Oval Office, they looked with fear about the consequences of doing something. Trump chose to look at the consequences of doing nothing. Pundits and politicians, they can all have their say, but they get the luxury of having their opinions without being in charge of anything. Trump rewrote history, and history is going to be his judge. But I believe that in the end, history is going to treat him very well over this decision to bring the scunion on Iran's nuclear ambitions. But in the end, regardless of what you think about it, Saturday was a huge day, capping off a huge week. A week that cemented the ability of the people of this world to stop wondering what's going to happen if the nation that caused more death and destruction in its short 45-year history than perhaps any other had ever gotten a nuke. There'll be rhetoric. There will likely be mistruths and protests, but there are now after the fact. Just like watching a Spectre gunship bring scunion from on high, we just watched hard, deliberative, precise, and effective, devastating effect of scunion being brought by the United States against the people who have said that their policy was death to America. I, for one, am glad. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.